Invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, turn with us to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 14 this morning. Mark, chapter number 14. Find Mark chapter 14, we'll begin reading in the first verse, just a moment. Mark chapter 14, verse number 1, together, you follow along in your Bibles, if you're able to, or your electronic versions of the Bible that you may have this morning. Mark 14, 1, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do good to them, do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her. And let's pray together. Lord in heaven, we ask that you would help us as we try to gather our thoughts together and center them upon the theme of our day, and that of remembering this Memorial Day weekend. And Lord, I pray that you would guide us into proper thinking concerning this memorial to yourself and for that great price that you gave for all of us present in this room, that we might have eternal life with you in heaven, if we'll simply reach out by faith and take that which you've already provided. So bless the preaching of your word this morning. Give clarity to both the giving and the understanding, the receiving of your word. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Memorial Day 2020, this weekend, from the years 1868 to 1970, Memorial Day was celebrated on May 30th. Didn't necessarily fall on a Monday, 1970. 1971 to present, it's changed to the last Monday in May. Isn't that amazing how things can change? I wouldn't like to be judgmental of why it is, but isn't it convenient to make it always fall on Monday where you have to have off work on Monday? It's always going to be time off. If it was on a Saturday or Sunday some other time, then you could just let it fall right in the schedule. But anyway, that's the way it is. And for many, Memorial Day just remind of hamburgers and hot dogs and pool parties and some fun outdoors, and that's about it. Now, it is true that many people do that, and I would not say that it's wrong to do that, of course, but there's far more to Memorial Day than just that, isn't there? There really, really is. I think it's been drawn closely into focus in these past 3 months for us. We've taken a lot of things for granted in America. We have. Memorial Day honors those Americans who served in the military, who died in defense of our nation. It was previously called Decoration Day. Many tombs will be decorated around the nation. Understand that the Boy Scouts have been forbidden this year from placing their customary traditional flags on graves, on tombs. Them we should. They did not die in vain, those heroes of past conflicts, but there is a way that we could treat them ultimately that we might be almost suggesting that they did die in vain, that their sacrifice was in vain. If we allow a godless regime in America to strip us of our constitutional liberties given to us by our Creator God, then our country has become blood guilty of those that have died to secure what we're enjoying right now. I do not say this lightly, and I do realize that we're live streaming, and that doesn't change the facts at all. I think we've had to examine where we are with regard to constitutional freedoms and liberties that were guaranteed us by not a government, but by our Creator, and affirmed and confirmed and issued by a formerly at least godly government of sorts. But in these days, those have certainly been challenged, haven't they? They've been challenged. And I am so thankful for our Governor Ron DeSantis in the state of Florida, who's been a champion of freedom these days. Our Vice President, coming from your fair state of Indiana, has suggested that Governor DeSantis in the state of Florida would serve as a model to all of America. And I agree. I think he's shown a little bit of common sense, which is not that common anymore among politicians. And he's shown some discretion and some wisdom in doing what he did. I was commenting with our brother just before the service. I have retained on the pulpit during this entire time of this coronavirus business the executive order number 20-91 that was issued by our governor, and how that he established some guidelines and some things would happen. He said that essential activities, he named four of them in the beginning. First essential activity in the state of Florida would be attending religious services conducted in churches, synagogues, and houses of worship. Now, how can you beat that? I don't know if the man's a believer in Jesus Christ, if he's truly a Christian or not, but he's pointing the right direction, isn't he, when it comes to that? And our president certainly showed some discernment and discretion just recently within the last couple of days. When he called upon governors of all 50 states to immediately open houses of worship. Now, I know it gets complicated when you talk about mosques and other false religions and so forth, but they're protected under the same things that we are. I know that. That makes it difficult and a little bit complicated, but nevertheless, he did the right thing by doing that. Memorial Day. Jesus used that word here in Mark chapter 14 and verse 9. That's the reason I selected this passage, because it is one portion that actually contains the word memorial. And you don't have to look very far to find that word, but it is. And Jesus spoke of what happened. So giving context to this, it's in the final hours, the final days of Jesus' earthly ministry here, just before his crucifixion. And he attends a supper in the house of Simon the leper, and this woman comes. Some believe it was Mary of Bethany, which could have been. There are two passages that indicate perhaps otherwise, and one that perhaps indicates it was her, and there may have been two separate happenings, but be that as it may, this woman comes and makes a costly sacrifice upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an alabaster box of ointment, very costly, very precious. The dollar amount is given to us in the passage. It was 300 pence. And in those days, one penny was the average wage for a day for a worker. 300 pence would be like a year's salary. And back then, they used to work every day. They didn't have a 40-hour, five-day work week. So it was a year's wages. And I'd say if you would offer a gift to someone that would constitute 1 year of your salary, that would be a substantial gift, wouldn't it? And this woman did that freely. She broke this box of ointment. Some have suggested, perhaps, knowing the culture and the society of the day, that it was part of her dowry. Perhaps it was reserved for something later in her life as a woman, and yet she gave it. She sacrificed it to the Lord Jesus, only to bring down the ire of those. In another passage, we would know that it was the protested the most loudly, because he cared for the poor. Isn't it amazing that we have a similar thing happening today, that there are those that always want to trumpet the cause of the poor and needy when in essence their real motivation is, what's in it for me? And some things have never changed. They haven't from Bible days until now. And Jesus, of course, responded to that, leave her alone. Leave her alone. And the statement was made by our Lord Jesus that it would serve, as long as this gospel is preached around the world, it would serve as a memorial for what she did for me. So we're thinking of a Memorial Day. You know, this day is the word memorial has to do with memory, with remembering. And we find in Scripture that it is obviously the subject of many passages and many accounts in the you remember, for instance, the crossing of Jordan River, how that they emerged from the other side and they gathered up 12 large stones and set up a monument. It was a place of remembering the goodness of God and all that He'd brought them through and all that He'd given to them to that time. You remember, the Ebenezer Stone. There's another one, isn't there? And there are numerous of them in Scripture where there were monument stones. There were things erected to memorialize certain events. And that's what we do on Memorial Day, isn't it? We are memorializing the valor, the sacrifice, the integrity. Oh my, I was just doing some reflecting on the message this morning, and I was thinking of this horrible thought. And I guess it's okay to let your sanctified imagination go a little bit from time to time, but I was thinking, what if we would have some sort of a worldwide conflict? What if we would be pressed into a world war and our nation would be called upon to send our best to defend America? The greatest society, the great society's gone already. The greatest generation's gone. They're past. They're out of here. And they've been replaced with a pretty sorry society, haven't they? Could you imagine what we would send to defend us if we had to, if it came to that? It's a frightening thing, isn't it? And God knows all about that. I'm not trying to instill any sort of fear or trepidation in anyone's mind, but it just makes you think. And for that reason, we memorialize that which God has given to us. We tend to have physical, tangible things that we can see and touch and feel. And that's normal. And I think it finds its basis and its root in Scripture. We see that by the things I mentioned a few moments ago. We have massive stone granite monuments all over this country. Some of them are being torn down now because they don't fit well within the framework mentally of someone's view of history. And yet, some of them 200 years, 300 years old, erected to commemorate, to memorialize certain events. I brought one with me this morning, and there are some that are down here left over from our brother Frank's funeral service yesterday, but hidden back here in the back. Can you see this doing remembrance of me, the large one right here up on top of the table? That was the front of our communion table during the fire, and that was destroyed, and it was taken apart and disposed of. I couldn't bear to part with that carved oak front, so I cut it out and set it up in the garage and saved it. For what reason? I don't know. It's because we tend to memorialize things, don't we? Frank helped us memorialize something. I told the story at the service yesterday. The wooden cross that you walk under going out the door every time you exit, Frank made that. It's functional. It's a cover for the ugly 2-inch galvanized water pipe that's running down the wall for the sprinkler system, and he covered it up with a wooden cross. And I was thinking, just 2 years ago, our brother from Canada was here to help us sort of redecorate our baptistry, and he said, we need a cross. We need a cross in there. I said, I know just the cross. I know just the cross. That white aluminum cross in the middle, that was on the steeple. That was the lightning rod that didn't work on the steeple of this church when it was struck by lightning and burned. And for some reason, when they tore everything down, tore the steeple down, everything was all in ruins, there was that cross. I thought, man, we got to save that cross for some reason. I don't know why, but it's just another piece of aluminum welded up there. But I stuck it aside in the corner somewhere, and it got shoved from place to place. And when Clarence said, "We need a cross," I said, "I know just the cross." So we got out that old cross and cleaned it up and painted it and fixed it right up and fixed up some lights and everything back. Those lights can change. We can make it purple or blue or green or make it change colors or whatever you want it to do. But, you know, we tend to memorialize using objects and things, and that's okay. We don't worship the things and the objects. That's not it. But they stand to remind us. And did you know this is unique to humans? Did you know dogs and cats don't do that? They don't memorialize. You've never seen a congregation of cats sitting around and said, "Do you remember when we killed that great big rat? But way back in 19..." You don't have any dogs saying, you remember how we chased that mailman and we had him scared to death? You remember that time?" They don't do that. They don't have that capability. They have some limited ability to learn some things, at least dogs do. And the thing of memorializing is it's something that is created and instilled within human beings, and it's profitable and it's necessary and it is normal. It really is. There's a time to remember and there's a time to forget. Well, right now is the time to remember. It's a time to memorialize. I want us to think about, if we could, just three simple things considering remembering, memorializing, reminding ourselves of certain things. What value does it serve for us? And I know the time is gone, but let me throw these things. And our brother this morning threw three things out. I got two of them. I didn't get the third one. But he had three things real quick at the end. I'm going to do the same thing this morning. Number one, they keep us in touch with important things from the past. They keep us in touch with important things from the past. Mary anointed Jesus for his burial. In all probability, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ still bore the fragrance of the ointment when he hung on the cross. He was pre-anointed for his burial in this act of love and sacrifice that was performed upon him. Number two, memorials cost us a significant price. They are costly. It cost her a year's salary for someone, perhaps her dowry. I'm thinking of earthly memorials that are made. In the coming days, there's going to be a memorial plaque placed in honor of Frank Teeter in the new Veterans Cemetery over in the Cocoa area, and there will be some expense to that. I don't know if the family has to pay for it, if it's provided by the government, they're going to pay for it. All right, great. Great. He certainly deserves that and earned that in his service to our nation. But, you know, memorials cost a significant price. If you've ever bought a headstone for a cemetery, you know what it costs. You do. You know the expense of that. They cost us a significant price. Without something invested that's sacrificial, it's not of any value to us. And thirdly, they warn us of the risk of ignoring the facts around us. And I think that's the point where we need to stop and take heed right now. But I would like to make further application of that, because we're talking about memorials. And this memorial that is viewed on the piece of oak wood, when Jesus said, in just hours, days later from this event in Cana, it was in Bethany, but just hours away from this, Jesus sat in the upper room with his disciples and said, "This do in remembrance of me." And did you know that today, even after more than 2,000 years, when we partake of the Lord's table of communion together, we're doing that in remembrance of him. It is a memorial to what Jesus did for us. So we ask ourselves a question this morning, well, what did Jesus do for us? Well, it is true that Jesus was a great man and a wonderful teacher, but he was more than that. Jesus was the God of the ages. He was the creator. I just love to encounter our Jehovah's Witnesses and friends down on the street, and you usually have a hard time saying anything to them because you get an argument instantly, But I like to tell them, Jesus Christ is Jehovah God. Amen. Jesus Christ is Jehovah God. He is. He is. And the fact that Jesus, Jehovah God himself, gave himself a ransom for my sins, he paid the price in full for my sin, that demands that I memorialize what he did. Now, there are ways that I can memorialize what Jesus did. I can sit around and meditate on what Jesus did and say, oh, how blessed we are to be saved and washed in the blood of Jesus. And that's great. But I think the best way that we can memorialize the work of Jesus Christ is to share it with someone else, is to share it with someone else, to witness, to say, do you know that Jesus that saved me from my sins? If not, you can know him today. You can trust the Lord Jesus Christ today. He gave himself for you. You may not believe that. You may not like that. You may reject that. But nevertheless, Jesus died for your sins, and he's ready to forgive you of your sins and to save you right now if you'll come to him by faith and receive him for just what he did. You know, memorials are important, aren't they? We memorialize the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We perpetually memorialize. I think of our missionaries that are in bad places today, some of them, been praying for Sarah's family out and around and all that they're experiencing, and over in Africa, and man, they're up against some odds that are really, really, really tough. And I was thinking, Lawrence has just been really, really, his mom had coronavirus, didn't she, in England? And he's over here, she's over there, and not knowing what's going on, missionaries in England. They're facing some tough things all around the world. They are. And yet they are actively memorializing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ by sharing the good news that Jesus saves. Could we do any less? Could we use this opportunity as we seemingly emerge from the dark shadows that we've been in for weeks now? Could we do anything less than saying, to God be the glory, great things he hath done? And let's not come out and say, oh, the pressure's off. We can go right back like we were. No, let's say, let's go forward with new vision, with new energy, with new determination, with new Holy Spirit power to do the work that we should have been doing all along in victory for the Lord Jesus Christ. Memorial Day 2020. It can be a special day like none other. I trust that it will be for you. If you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, trust him today. Trust him today. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's promised he wouldn't reject, refuse anyone that will come to him in simple faith, believing. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We conclude in prayer this morning. Thank you for your kindness and your concentration, your attention this morning. We've had an action-packed service all the way through with a lot of special things. The most special thing is the truth that we've confronted ourselves with from John chapter 14. Father, we pray now as we extend the invitation that you would work in hearts and draw souls to yourself, dear Lord Jesus. We thank you for the free gift of salvation, and we memorialize that by doing exactly what you've commanded us to do these days, and that is to hold forth the good news that Jesus saves. Bless the invitation. If there be needy souls here that need to make decisions, encourage them bravely to make those decisions, those commitments right now. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.